This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, very special show, right, Bubba Rosenbaum?
Yeah, aren't they all, Dave? No.
This is even more special.
Obviously, enjoy any time we can catch up with former East Carolina men's basketball coach Mike Steele. Coach, how are you?
Well, I thought that intro, I thought I was listening to the halftime of the Super Bowl, but go ahead.
that's East Carolina assistant track and field coach, Udon Cheek.
Well, I knew that. That's one of my favorites. Go ahead.
Well, this is going to be entertaining. I love it. No need for therapy. You can just have Coach Steele on for a show. It's awesome. Coach, obviously wanted to have you on talking basketball, specifically right now with East Carolina basketball with Coach Dooley. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I thought we had a great win at Tulsa, which, you know, anytime you're struggling and you win on the road, then that shows your guys haven't quit, which that's a good sign, because February is a time when you watch guys and they either pound it through, they grind it out, or they quit listening and they just, you know, they just don't bust it. And so that was, and then the first half against SMU, I thought we really played good. The second half, I mean, SMU is really skilled. We didn't play it. This team, and I think probably experience-wise, it just seems like if we have a couple things go wrong, then we struggle. We struggle scoring, but we beat Memphis, who's now playing really well. We should have beat Cincinnati, who's won 18 or 19 games. So we're obviously capable, and I think we've got some young guys that have a chance to be really good.
Just we were talking before in the green room about certainly about Coach. I'm a huge fan, as you know, of Coach Dooley. You and I have talked back in the green room about we've had great coach after coach, including I'll put you. I know you won't do it, but I'll put you in that mix. And I think the easiest thing to do to tell the administration and the ward building is not bring Dooley back. Let's get another coach, another 4 years. We'll get another coach and repeat that every 4 years. And guess what? You won't have a basketball program. And not only that, but we're only spending $1 million a year on a basketball program in a big boy league. I mean, the American is a great league, as you know, and it's very difficult to compete if you're only spending $1 million a year in the American.
Yeah. Since I was gone, we've had, I don't know, maybe eight coaches, and 4 years is usually kind of the benchmark. I think it's like every presidential election, every 4 years, we get a new coach. But, you know, like, I'd like to see him say, whether it's here or somewhere else, say, you know what, this isn't working. We're going to get rid of the marketing team, or we're going to get rid of the concession people and start over from there, or we're going to get rid of the security people. We're going to let the tow truck people take a day off, take a year off, and not tow any cars because you're in the wrong parking spot. I think that there's a lot of things you can do that wouldn't cost you money, but we've proven we can't continue to do all the things that we do year after year after year. And Bubba, as we talk, you know, like, we don't need somebody from in the stands to go down and tell somebody you're in the wrong seat when there's nobody on that row. They don't need to spend money on the security. And when one guy starts yelling at the officials, like, they're going to throw the kid out of it. It just doesn't make any sense.
One thing that I've been complaining about, and I know you brought up in the green room, is it's been dismal for a long time, and that is the concession stands. I wish we could fix that that problem.
No, it's and I don't know why that's not fixable. And maybe and I'm sure there's a reason why, but like if you go to the baseball game, the baseball concessions are really good.
Awesome. Yep.
No, they're really good. So why don't we just have the same for basketball? And you know, why don't we have people that you recognize, they recognize you. Here's what I want. I don't understand why we can't have the same as baseball has, which baseball basically is a, you know, we've been really good in baseball, but it's not a moneymaker by any means. I don't know. But it's the same issues year after year after year.
And that very thing is that it's easy to say, okay, we're not going to bring Dooley back, but the elephant in the room is the commitment to basketball, right? I mean, so it doesn't matter which coach you put up there. They're kind of like a sacrificial lamb. Sorry if that hurts anybody's feelings, but they're kind of like the sacrificial lamb every 4 years. And then you get another guy and another guy. And another. It's like the definition of insanity. The commitment to basketball is definitely lacking. It's been lacking for as long as I've been a student. I went to your basketball camp in the 80s. It's been lacking as long as well, actually not yours. It was Coach Harrison right before. But it's just been that.
I was going to say, if you came to mind, I didn't realize we took 25-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. College kids at Coach Steele's camp.
I don't know how you snuck in. I guess we just needed the money, but go ahead.
Yeah, but that very fact of it's been – as long as I've been a Pirate fan since I was 13 years old, it's been that way where we've never been – you know, and then people say, well, why is basketball not good? Well, you know, I'm not saying that we have to – I'm not saying that we have to overspend on basketball, but at least make it where it's competitive. And Bubba told me that it was way more than a million for basketball, but I was told, isn't it last in the American, Bubba? Am I at least right on that? I know I'm not the number.
Yeah, I do not know what the annual budget is for basketball. Coach Dooley's salary is just shy of $1 million. I'm pretty sure I've heard Cy Seymour, you know, as well as others, you know, on various programs, be it Pirate Radio or 94.3, talk about the basketball budget, and pretty sure it's last in the American.
Well, and you know, it's really not how much you pay Coach Dooley. It's all the other stuff.
Exactly, you know, Coach. That's something I was telling folks here recently.
Yeah, it's travel and expenses and assistant coaches. But I think as much as anything, you ought to be able to go to the games and know it's just going to be fun. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. You can't wait to take your kids, your grandkids. It's just fun, and sometimes it's just too much work, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be any work. They basically, every time you go in, someone should say thank you for coming, because that's we got to get people out, and they got to figure out a way. And for me, they got to figure out a way how they can go door to door with marketing and figure out how they can get tickets. And get if you get 5,000 people in there, it's a loud. Hard place to play. It's a hard place to play. They don't need 40 like they do in football. They need 5,000 people. And for me, I would say the marketing, I'm going to pay you X amount of money. But if you get 5,000 and average that, you're going to get 100,000, 200, whatever bonus. But that, and it's just never, it's never. It's never been that way. It's never been like, what do we need to do to get 5,000 people? Now, the easy thing is say, well, if we win, we'll get 5,000 people. But it would be a lot easier to win if we had 5,000 people.
Right.
Yeah, right. Coach, you know, we had this conversation several weeks back. We had B. Pays, you know, who – he's done some work there in the radio business over the years, East Carolina alum from the mid-90s. And we were just saying how you, in some ways, you almost treat it as much as you can, kind of like minor league baseball, like you're saying, as far as making it fun and, you know, doing some things that are outside the box for Division I basketball.
No, you know, you could do anything you want, because if it doesn't work, who cares? You know, I mean, like – I guarantee you, instead of, like, at halftime, do the shootout, have somebody pay the insurance, and if you make a half-court shot, you win a car. I mean, and the T-shirts, I don't know if I've ever seen anything that will get people more excited than a friggin' $3 T-shirt shot up in the 35th row. I mean, when I was coaching, they had the T-shirts were from Mike Amann from Dunkin' Donuts, Dunkin' in the CAA with Blue Edwards. And about halfway through the season, one of the marketing people said, "We're not going to do that anymore. We think it's too dangerous." Excuse me? "We think it's too dangerous. Someone might get hit with a T-shirt, and we might have a liability." And I, you can't make that up. Yeah, you can't make that up. No, but that's, yeah, they need to, the whole concept atmosphere needs to change before they do anything with personnel. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, in fact, can you put that comment, Bub, up on for, we have one of our favorites, Tony Parham, Coach Steele, a great guy. Yeah. Tony was going to give you a shout out to him. And that's one thing, like you being a former coach, former players, you know, it's like that very fact of when you had the steel mill. But how do you get that? That's one thing, Coach, we were asking about getting the students. Can you like get pizzas out there? Do we, I mean, what do we have to do to get more students there? I mean, you're more of a master of that than a lot of the coaches.
No, you know, it's funny when I was coaching, I went to all the fraternities and sororities, and I told them, I'll never forget this. Like I said, I don't care what you guys need to do to get fired up for the games, but you need to come in there and be fired up. I don't care what you do. And I got called in and they said, "It sounds like you're encouraging them to drink." And I said, "Well, you know, Miller Lite is sponsoring the Pirate Pigskin Pigout. So we're being somewhat hypocritical here about, you know, like college kids are going to drink, but we're Miller Lite is one of our big sponsors." So yeah, I really didn't care what guy, but you gotta go and tell them how much that you need them and make them feel like it's a, you know, it's a big deal that they're there, which it is. And then once they're there, you can't drag them out because they're yelling at the officials. They need to go. We need to have our security people go spend one game at Cameron and come back and say, "Boy, our students are really nice kids." You know, our students, I had no idea the language that these smart kids in Cameron use. You know, yeah, that would be one of my suggestions.
And Bubba, you know, we were talking about the very fact of whether it was speaking of the students, but Coach, with the way that Menjies is now with Williams Arena, with the fans are so close to the coaches and players, I mean, that lower bowl is very, very loud, as you know, Coach. You were talking about getting the fans at about the 5,000, but even that lower bowl, if you get that place packed first, when they do the holiday, when the students aren't there and they give them the tickets, like, what is it, $8? I mean, that's always been great, but maybe they should do that more, Coach. What do you think?
Well, again, I think that if you're out on the pavements talking to businesses and you can get 25 tickets, you can get 50 tickets, you can get this. Yeah, whatever it takes, because once people get there, if you win, like I guarantee nobody that went to the Memphis game didn't come back for the next game. But then it's, you know, it's kind of a short term, but if there's 5,000 people there, and we were there, you know, I coached there when we beat Lefty, our team did, and we beat Richmond, and the place you couldn't, you know, it was, you couldn't hear. And then when Coach Herring was here and we beat Louisville and Marquette, you couldn't hear the person next to you.
Yep.
And we probably didn't have anybody on our team when Billy was here that could have played for Louisville or Marquette. Marquette went to the Final Four that year, but the crowd made a big difference. And it really affects the officials who say it doesn't, but it does 100%.
Just ask Tim Floyd, right?
Yeah.
You remember that game?
Oh, yeah. I know Tim. And you know what? After the game, Tim came over and he said, "Hey, Mike, how you doing? How's the family? How's the kids? How's Drew doing?" He was just as calm as could be. And that was after basically all of his coaches got thrown out of the game. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful.
That the very thing with basketball, with, you know, we were talking about that. One of the things that Paze and I were talking about, and Bubba, want to get your thoughts, being a former coach. Why don't we do any kind of basketball fundraiser, any kind of kickoff party, anything the you were talking about, light up the fans? I mean, I just feel like that's something that the other programs do that we don't. I'm just wondering why we don't do that.
Or, you know, I don't know. I don't know, because, like I said, I would try anything. And if it doesn't work, you don't do it the next year. You do some, try something else, because what we've been doing, I think we've had, and this might be an exaggeration, but I think we've had 5 winning seasons in maybe 50 years.
That sounds like, right, Chris.
I had one. Joe had one. I'm hoping Joe can get 2. If Joe gets 2.
Eddie Payne had 2. Joe had 2. You had that one. 15,
I don't know 14. If Joe had 2. I mean, I don't know if he had 2.
Joe's first 2 years were winning seasons, because there were those. That was we had 4 years in a row there in the 90s, 93 through, I guess, what, 97, where we had those 4 straight years of, we went 15 and 12, 18-11, 17-10, 17-11.
Bubba, I'm going to go back in and check. I don't think you're right.
Yeah.
But
Tony said he was there for 4.
I promise you I'm right, Coach.
Tony said he was there for 4. I guess he's talking about winning season, so Tony Parr.
Yeah, okay. Well, it certainly hasn't been easy.
No, not at all.
No.
And it's not as to your point, Coach, as far as a number similar to 5-50, we have only finished above 500 in conference play twice, and I think it's 40 years. And both of those seasons, one was under Joe 9-7, and then one was under Jeff Lebo 9-7. So
yeah,
the 2 times we finished above 500 in league play in 40 years was 9-7.
No, and you know, and one of the things that
people are just saying now, like people right now are saying, you know, if Joe doesn't, early in the season, if he doesn't get to 9-9 in the league, then we need to fire him. Like, what are you people on?
And not a good high.
No. And you know, when you look through our conference, not only the 3 that are leaving, but the other one, it's a good conference. I mean, it's a good conference. And it's a competitive conference, but we're close, but we've lost, you know, we lost some close games, but you're going to lose. If you're going to have 10 close games, you're going to lose some of them. But we're closer than we've been in a long time.
Hey, Coach, I love this from Chuck. He says, do they still have Midnight Madness? Bring Blue back to shatter some backboards.
I think the last time we had Midnight Madness was Halloween.
Yeah, so we're not going to – so the point is
– yeah.
We're not going to do it.
You know, I had a chance to sit with Blue at one of the last games, and he's coaching at Green Central. And I had the first time I saw him when he came back, he took me to the side. He goes, how do you get these guys to listen? I said, now that's pretty funny coming from you, really. That's pretty funny. You know, the first game I ever coached Blue – I can't remember who we were playing, but, you know, Carolina guys would raise their fist when they were ready to come out of the game. They needed a blow. And Blue's got his fist up, and one of my assistants says, Blue needs a blow. I say, he's not getting a blow. And so we have a timeout, and he comes over, and he goes, I said, Blue, what are you doing with your fist up? I said, you're not playing for Carolina. He goes, Coach, I need a blow. I said, Blue, you're not getting a blow. Coach says, Coach, I was dying out there. I said, well, Theodore, if you die, there's 2 things. One, it'll be the lead-in story on ESPN, so that'll be good. And second, I'll make sure we put a plaque right where you fall because you're not coming out of the damn game, son. So put your fist down. You're making both of us look really stupid. I swear that's the first game I ever coached Theodore. Put your fist down. You're making us both look dumb. Crazy. Boy, was he good. And you know what? He didn't really know how good he really was. But the longer, like, I only coached him 1 year, but he was as talented as anybody that I ever played with at Purdue or played against, and that's why he was in the league for 10 years.
How do we get that that caliber of player? Like, I know that he is some people would say a generational player, blah, 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 but how do you get a guy like Blue Edwards in the modern era now?
You can't. You can't. I mean, you can't. It's not going to happen. I mean, the only way, like, he went to a junior college and the ACC were unable to recruit him, and so we were able to get him. But now with this name, image, and likeness, he's a $1 million guy. He's a guy that Auburn would pay $700,000 to $1 million to get him, like they did. The Carolina guy, the Kessler kid, he was a $1 million transfer.
Oh, wow.
$1 million. He visited Kansas, Kentucky, and UCLA, and he went to Auburn. And on July 1st, when you could start getting paid for your likeness, he was right at $1.3 to $1.5 million, day one.
Wow.
So we're not getting the Blue Edwards days. We're not going to get a Jerry Stackhouse or, you know.
Unless they want to stay home. What if they want to stay home? That would be the only way.
You know what? For $1 million, their parents will say, you need to go ahead and get your butt somewhere else. You can come back for Christmas, pal. Yeah. Yeah. They're not staying home. No.
So all the Kinston kids and all the kids we have in Pitt County, the really good players, they're going to go to – they would be going to Carolina, Duke anyway, right?
I mean, yes.
Before NIL. Before now it's legal. I mean, you can just back up the cash truck and it's okay.
Oh, no, now it's just whoever – you know, when Lane Kiffin is complaining that it's not fair because Georgia and Auburn and LSU – and Alabama have more money than Mississippi, then you know that if he's complaining, then the non-Power Fives have no chance to get those kind of kids. No chance. None.
Hey, Coach, I love this. I think you'll appreciate this. Tony says you got to get Parker's Barbecue to give us some NIL money. Billy Parker's got it, right, where we can get some of those players?
Well, they're going to have to sell a lot of barbecue, a lot of barbecue, you know, and bees would have to start reporting their income. That's not going to work either. No, that's not going to work. I think that what we need to try to figure out is how we can compete in the NIL with the people in our conference. And that's not going to be easy. SMU is going to be, SMU will be at the $4 or $5 million to pay in guys in that bracket. And I just don't know, you know, and you don't know, like someone like Tulane, they might have somebody that says, hey, I want basketball to, I'm worth $100 million and I want basketball to be successful. How much do you need? And if they say we need $2 million a year, they'll say, that's no big deal. We'll just write it off. It's a business expense. So I don't know.
Tony says Memphis is unlimited, laughing out loud.
Uh-huh. No. Memphis speaking is of which, over the salary cap forever.
Coach, speaking of which, how hot is that seat in Memphis with Penny Hardaway? He seems to not be dealing well with the media in recent times here in the last few weeks.
No, but you know what?
He's got his players back. He's won 5 straight and 1 at Houston.
No, he just beat Houston and Houston. And so now, instead of the media criticizing him, they're saying he's got He's an emotional guy. That's why his player, you know, all that, whatever. It won't make any difference what he says to anybody if they somehow, and they could win the tournament and they could get in. And if that happens, then he'll be fine. I mean, there's no telling how much money Memphis is paying their guys. There's no telling. It's just like the guy at Auburn. He's been kicked out of basketball twice for paying guys, but now it's legal. I mean, Bruce all he Pearl. Has is experience on cheating.
Auburn, now he's the coach for life, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I sent it said Auburn locks up Bruce Pearl for life, and I sent Matt Painter that, and I said the NCAA should have done that 20 years ago. Yeah, and he just said, no, that's a good point. No, but and coaches have said now that, like, if they know Auburn's recruiting a kid, they just say we're not going to get him, because Bruce Pearl's got access to a couple guys that have got unlimited resources, and they just say we're not going to get him. About the only one that hasn't said that is Kentucky, because they got a lot of money there too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're honest people there in Kentucky. In
oh yeah, no, they love. Yeah, they're here. Let me give you the winners for the Kentucky Derby next year if you come here. it's beautiful. Hey, Bubba.
Yes, sir.
What? I think that the conferences like us, and I say like the Sun Belt and Conference USA, I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to be the difference between us and the 1AA, because the last thing that they want is another Cincinnati to be in the playoffs. I don't see that happening.
So you think that was one and done?
What do you think? I mean,
here recently, in the college football playoff expansion has certainly hit a snag. Well, I'm sure, like you're saying.
Yeah, the problem we have is we have too many egos in college football to the point of where they're bigger than the game. So as long as they're bigger than the game. The college football could be the number one sport in America, but they're just not they're not smart enough to get out of the way of that. I mean,
you know what though, Dave? Like, I'm sure you guys both saw. I mean, last week the SEC cut a check for $56 million to every school. $56 million, and that's not their attendance. That's strictly from the conference office. And last year, because of COVID, they wrote a check to everybody for $23 million just because they didn't, you know, they might need the money. $56 million, and that doesn't include expenses if you went to a bowl game. They're going to add that on. It's just a different animal. What would we do with $56 million?
The TV money with the American of $7 million or whatever, a little over $7 million.
Yeah,
that's the reason, you know, that East Carolina stays with the American as opposed to, like you're saying, a more regional league that would be a lot of fun, like the Sun Belt, at least for the time being.
No, I agree. I think eventually, and I can certainly be wrong, but I think these non-Power 5 conferences are going to have to look at travel and figure out who they can play. And, I mean, I just think that, especially out of conference, I can't see anybody flying anywhere out of conference. Like, I can't see, and I'm sure the game's already scheduled, but, like, I can't see us playing West Virginia. Why would we go play West Virginia? I mean, you know, it's a horrible place to play. You can't get in. The fans are brutal. I mean, we've got to figure, I would think, just figure out a way where you get on a bus and go play Duke, Wake. I know it's not that easy, but I wouldn't get on another plane out of conference, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball. I wouldn't even think about it.
Well, so the BYU's
Boise
is good.
Why go to the West Coast? It makes no sense. We're not going to get players from there. Makes no sense.
So what about one of your buddies, too, with Skip Holtz? About him landing in the new version of the USFL, I was really happy about that.
How about that?
I was really happy.
You know, it's a, he and I talked a long time, and I think that it's a 3-month deal, and everybody gets paid the same, coaches, players, quarterbacks, everybody gets paid the same. They draw, like you've got 8 teams, and they pick out a position, and they say it's quarterback. Then they draw, and somebody gets the first pick, second pick, right down the line. And then if you got the first pick for quarterback, then when you do running back, you get the 8th pick. So it's like Little League, except it's this conference, because what they want to do is keep the games as competitive as possible, and they're looking at Vegas as being, this is why we're doing this. With the ABC or NBC and Fox, but the big supporter is Harrah's Casinos. And they didn't know who they were. Until they went to the coaches meeting, they didn't know which team they were going to coach. Then they were signed. This is who you're going to coach. Yeah, it's but like Skip said, there's no portal. There's no name, image, and likeness. There's nobody leaving because they're going to make more money, because the money is all the same. And if you win, it's the same as if you finish in last place. It's interesting. It's different.
I like the Spring League thing, too, because I think they were doing well until a man that Donald Trump tried to compete in the fall.
Yeah.
Remember that? They were doing pretty well back in the 80s.
And I don't know if you've, but like all the games are going to be in Birmingham the first year.
Yeah, that's all what I found very interesting. I was not aware of that until I heard that interview with Skip.
No, I'm sure they've got a reason for that.
It's saving money.
But you would think that if you're trying to get people interested, like in Detroit, for their team, that they wouldn't have their home games, all their games in Birmingham. So I don't know. That's what I heard.
I don't know if that's the case. I'd heard that when they announced the league, they were trying to do everything they could to cut down travel expenses. That's what I heard.
That would be the interesting thing, when Birmingham is not involved in the game, those other games – how will those, how much money are the people from Birmingham going to spend on watching those other games? I mean, people only have so much disposable income, and they're not going to be able to spend so much, on those USFL games.
Bub, I think what they're banking on is the TV and the and the online gambling. I think online gambling is a driving force for this league.
Yeah, I really like having it back. It's good that hopefully we can get Coach on and to be able to talk about it. We're gonna be pulling hard for him. I'm a huge fan of Coach Holtz. I thought he was great. I really was sad the day he left.
We did the Drew Holtz Skip Holtz golf tournament or the Drew Steele Skip Holtz, and we raised a bunch of money and they built the Drew Steele Center, and he was the best. He was a Pied Piper. I mean, he went to South Florida because they were in the Big East and they were in the BCS, but he needs to be in a college town. The first time I went to see him, we went to practice and we got stuck in traffic, and it took us almost 2 hours to get from his house to practice. And that's just not his gig. I mean, he, he needs to be in a college town. And he had a lot of success at Louisiana Tech, which is a college town. He was great for us, though. He was great for us.
Last time we won a conference championship was Coach Holtz. So,
no, and you know what? The other thing, though, is that a lot of those teams we beat are in our new conference. And he'd be the first one to tell you that when we couldn't take non-qualifiers and then the conference upgraded to who they have, this became a very difficult coaching job. And it's going to get, I'm going to say easy, but it's going to get easier getting Cincinnati and Houston and Central Florida out of this league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have Bubba, you sent us that in that group text yesterday, last night. I think Fickell's going to be making $5 million. Is that right, Bubba? $5 million a year now?
That's his base salary.
$5 million. And he's going to be the highest paid coach in the new Big 12, basically. The only coaches he'll be behind are the ones going to the SEC and Brent Venables and then also Steve.
No, and the guy at Houston had a great agent because
– $4 million, right?
Well, he got $1 million raise immediately when they joined the Big 12, and that was written in his contract. He was making $3 million, and if they went to the Big 12, he makes $4
million. Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good agent right there.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So as far as the rest of the season, how do you see we playing? How do you see the Pirates playing out? Do you have your thoughts on that? Any hope of having some kind of a little bit of a run in the tournament, being the American?
You know, I think a lot of it's going to depend, Dave. I think this South Florida game is on the road is a big game for us because I feel like we'll beat them at home. They're not very good, but they've had some good wins at home. If we beat them on the road and we can beat them at home, Central Florida will be very difficult, but if we can go 2-1 there, we'll be right at that 500 mark. And that's why the Cincinnati game was such a huge game, because if the guy doesn't get the tip back in, we come back and beat him. That puts us two or three games over 500. And, you know, when you say you have a winning season, it really doesn't make any difference whether you go 17-10 or 14-13 is a winning season, especially here. And so that's what I'm hoping. I mean, I think this first game on this road trip is a big game for us.
And we have Tulsa on the coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and we can beat Tulsa. We can beat Tulsa at home. I think we can beat South. I know we can beat South Florida at home. Have they made up, Bubba, have they announced, are we playing Wichita State at Wichita State?
Yes.
But we will not play them.
Yeah, we have
so
them.
We're still going to play them twice.
No.
We're just one time.
Making up South Florida.
Yeah, we have the at Wichita State, the last game, March 5th, but we didn't, they don't have the home game for us at Greenville, that we're not making that one up, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's too bad. That's too bad.
Yeah, because that's the one I've been wondering if we could, how we would do on the road. But Wichita State is one that I feel like we have a shot. The only thing that worries me is being on the road. But I feel like the Wichita State, we have a shot at it.
It'll be a
tough. Well, there in the past.
That'll be a tough. We'll be at probably 9 or 10 point underdog in that game, I would guess. That'll be a tough game because Wichita State's kind of battling the same thing. We're, you know, trying to stay over 500, and they're not great, but they're tough. They're good at home.
No doubt, it's always hard. It's always hard being a Pirate fan, and certainly with basketball. Do you think? I'll go ahead and ask the tough question. So if we don't have a winning record, does that mean Joe is not going to be back with us?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a clue. I hope so, but I'm prejudiced because, you know, I hoped Billy
would come back. I mean, I've hoped every coach that we've I hope that Jeff would come back. I just know that it's just really a tough gig. But I also know that you cannot do the groundhog deal where every 4 years it doesn't work. It just does not work. So that's a big part of it for me, is you got to have some continuity. So, but I don't know. We'll see. That's over my pay grade.
Yeah, that's what I've said, Coach. I mean, unless the wheels totally fall off down the stretch, which I don't think they will, but if you get to 14, 15 wins, I think we're really making a mistake if Joe is not back for next season, you know, unless that's the decision he makes. But, if we make the decision to not bring him back and not extend him and let him go into his fifth year of his contract, and that's a whole nother animal there, you know.
Yeah.
Going into the fifth year of a 5-year contract and what that can do. But a couple things I want to bring up and kind of changing the topic. I know I mentioned these to you earlier on the phone, and that is, you talk about not being afraid to do anything. What do you have to lose if it doesn't work? Because, from a marketing and promotional standpoint, one of those videos, you remember the one that you did, I think it surfaced on a message board or somewhere on social media in recent years. It had you saying, "I'm Dean Smith." And then, you'd have like a buzzer, an X across the screen. "I'm Mike Krzyzewski." You remember that one?
I try not to, Bubba. Yeah. Go ahead.
But you just said, after both of those, you said, "I'm Mike Steele, and I promise you we'll be somebody."
Yeah. That's when I think that was after our first day of practice, the police came and took 6 players off the floor. And a lot of people don't know that took 6 players off the floor for stuff they had done in the spring of the year before. They broke into one of the dorms, and I know this will shock you, but it didn't come up in the interview process. So they were going to wait till those kids came back on campus and then charge them. So one of my gallant assistants, as we're going through the warmups, he came in, he said, the locker room, he said, "Coach, the police just came and took 6 guys." And I remember I said, "Well, we're not at DePaul anymore, honey." No. So they took 6 guys, 5 of them they kicked out of school, and Blue didn't steal anything, but he had possession of stolen property. He had a stereo that one of the guys gave him so he wouldn't squeal on them. And then Blue gave that to his brother or cousin or somebody to put it in the garage. Anyway, so Blue set out that year, which was probably the best thing that could happen to Blue. But the first road game that I coached at East Carolina, we played at Duke. They were number one in the country. And I was the tallest guy on the bus. So I knew things weren't going to go well. I mean, I picked up on that, Bubba. And my wife, she said, for 2 days, she goes, "I understand why you're such a bad mood." And I said, "Well, we're getting ready to go into Duke, and I got 2 walk-ons, Kenny Murphy and another guy in the top 6, and yeah, it's not going to be good." She said, "Well, it's not like you haven't lost a game before." And I said, "How about shutout? How about 102-0 on USA Today, headline of the sports?" So when we scored that first basket, I mean, I took a huge sigh of relief because I had visions of shutout. That's the team we had going in. Yeah. So, no, we had 6 guys get picked up and taken to the police the first day of practice that I was here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
No. That's why you talk about tough being a pirate. It's tough being a pirate coach, too. Yeah, trust me. Yeah.
So if you were the AD at East Carolina, and we know how much you love basketball, what are the things that you wave a magic wand? I know that we don't live in that world, but how do you fix basketball? Like we talk about, do you get the, you're talking about concession stands, you talk about all the stuff. Is there stuff that we don't know? But what I'm saying is, there's things that we don't know that you know behind the scenes that we need to improve. What are those things to make basketball better?
Well, I think the first thing for me, I would say we're going to change the whole atmosphere. And if you got to bring somebody in to do that, but it's, we got to change the whole atmosphere from the minute you drive your car up to the concession stands to all that. And that's something that you can do. I mean, that's the first thing that I would do. And, you know, I think that as much as I hate that guys are getting paid, and I don't think it's, I think it's not right. I think that when they put this in, I think they were thinking, okay, if you sell 100 jerseys that have my name on the back, I'm right. going to get $2 a jersey.
Right.
The NCAA was incredibly naive when they said this isn't going to affect recruiting. Incredibly naive. So, but you know, if you're going to be in this league, this almost Power Five, the SMUs of the world are going to be raising huge amount of money. And whether you like it or not, you're going to have to get on board if you're going to compete. And so that's one area that, you know, I think you've got to hire people that are going to, you know, that are going to do that. And the thing you worry about, is that going to take money away from the Pirate Club, which they desperately need? I don't know. I think that you've got to decide who your coach is going to be and then weather the storm, whether it's, and if it's not Joe, if you got whoever else comes in, you got to say, this is our guy for the next 6, 8 years, whatever it is. Because I don't think you can, you know, like Bubba, you mentioned, if we win 14 or 15 games, well, what if we only win 13? It's still the same guy.
Right. You still got to, you know, I mean, so, you got to look at it. You can't put a number on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you either say, this is our guy or this isn't our guy.
Right.
And then go with it. Because, you know, you can't hardly go into your last year, you're a sitting duck with recruiting. If you go into the last year, I mean, then other coaches can say, boy, this guy is the greatest guy ever. It's too bad he's probably not going to be your coach for 4 years. And I mean, they can negative recruit on a positive way. This guy is really a good guy, but boy, it's just too bad he's not going to be with you for the whole time you're there. So you almost can't do that. And again, that's just my opinion. And I'm prejudiced because I've been on that coach's side. It's not like it's the last guy that's on his contract of a salesman that, you know, you can just bring in another salesman. You're not going to lose anything. You got to look at now how many guys you're going to lose if you make a change, how many players you're going to lose.
Coach, would you give him a 3 or 4 year extension?
I would, but again, that's I'm 100% prejudiced. I mean, I'd have given Jeff Lebo a 3 or 4 year extension. So it's probably not the guy to ask. I'd have given Bill Herring the same thing.
But you made a good point though. But yourself, you have Eddie Payne, Joe Dooley the first time. Well, you have Bill Herring, you have Coach Mac McCarthy. You have Lebo. You have yourself. You look at that. There's a lot of great coaches in there. A lot of great coaches in there. That it's not like they didn't know the game of basketball, right?
Well, Bill Herring came to East Carolina. He had won 70% of his games at Drexel.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not like they were bad coaches.
He was sixth in the country with winning percentage. And we had some really good teams. But we went from playing William & Mary to playing Cincinnati or James Madison to playing Louisville.
Exactly.
I mean, whoever came up with that program, I mean, that's when you – in my opinion, that's when you say, Billy, we're playing these new teams, we're playing Marquette, we're giving you a 5-year extension because we know we're not going to be competitive in this league for 3 or 4 years. There's no chance. You can't prepare for William & Mary and now you're preparing for going to Louisville. It's just, we don't expect that. So relax, because he put so much pressure on himself. I mean, he just kind of, he burned himself out. I mean, that's right. just the reality of it.
And
that 03-04 season, we were knocking on the door. I mean, I think we finished 13-14, but we had so many near misses against the, mm-hmm. you know, against those teams that you just mentioned. And, you know, it was very close to, you know, 17-18 wins. And then, you know, in 04-05, like you said, Coach Herring got burnt out. We had some really bad losses, and that's when after year six that we opted to go in another direction. But that's kind of where I am with Coach Dooley. Things are trending in the right direction. No, it's not as fast as he or anybody else wants, but at the same time, you have to have some perspective with what East Carolina basketball has been historically. It doesn't – we're not saying, you know, justify current shortcomings with that history, but at the same time, if you don't think a 15-15 record with where this program has been in recent history would be a step in the right direction, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Billy, when you look like, you know, Errol Bing had two scholarship offers, and he came here, which was great. Musa Badian was recruited by Greg Herenda. Greg Herenda was on his honeymoon in France. He saw Musa Badian playing in an outdoor game, introduced himself. Musa came to East Carolina. First time he ever been on campus was when he was had already signed. Never played the game, never saw the campus.
Wow.
And then you've got Gabe Mikolas, who picked us over Wright State, and when he visited Wright State, they had 2 feet of snow. So it wasn't like we beat name. I mean, and those three guys are three of the best players we've ever had. But Musa Badian had never been on campus, had never heard of East Carolina, and he ended up being one of the best. You know, led Conference USA in shot blocking. Yeah, I mean, you got to get lucky. But now, if we were now and Musa Badian did what he did his first year, he'd be in the portal and somebody'd be paying him a bunch of money.
I'll never forget that Old Dominion game. He blocked 10 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He blocked three on one possession.
No, you block 10 shots here, you're not playing here the next year. I mean, somebody's going to pay you a bunch of money. It's just not – I think there's a reason that Coach K and Roy Williams got out this year, because that's not what they're used to having, is having to continue to recruit guys to stay. I mean, Carolina loses guys and Duke loses guys. And, I mean, kids grow up wanting to go to Carolina and Duke. But that almighty dollar will get you someplace else.
Yeah, hope Coach K didn't coach the second half of the Wake Forest game.
Yeah, I heard that.
Hopefully he's okay. So he was feeling under the weather a little bit, it looks so.
Hey, you now, go ahead.
No, I coached against Coach K four times. All four times it was at Cameron, of course. And all four times they were number one in the country. And I think we got 12,000 twice and maybe 15,000. Now they're paying 150,000, but it's been a long time ago. But when he got to his thousandth, I sent him a note and said, I think I deserve at least 0.004% credit for those games. And he sent me back a nice note thanking me for visiting Cameron. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey, now, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on this. Speaking of beautiful.
You know who did that? Griff Mills played for me at DePaul and was one of my assistant coaches. And he took – that was an Indiana Pacer.
I was going to ask him.
Yeah. And he stole that or whatever, but he put that together. And it was the same – it was very very forthright, I guess, in that he also – he was trying to make money. He also did Blue Over Troubled Waters and had a picture of Blue dunking it, like with the ocean in the background, and he sold those posters. Yeah. Yeah. He made a little bit of money, and now he's a principal in a high school in Michigan. So he did all right.
Coach, do you think
was not aware of that poster? I'd love to know if one of those exists. If somebody out there is listening and has one, please let us know.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I think, in fact, we might have one even here, Bubba. I'll put it on eBay and see what I get for it. And if I can't get much, I'll give it to you.
Hey, does Blue have one himself?
You know, I don't know. Knowing Blue, he probably doesn't. But
something like that. If you do have one, Coach, shoot, get that thing autographed and have that put in the East Carolina Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to pick. I mean, Bub, I'd rather give it to you, really. Really, I'd like to give it to Dave's 8-year-old because he's had a tough day.
Wow. Oh. Well, I don't need any enemies when I have friends. But I appreciate you keeping it real, Coach Steele. I appreciate it.
No, I can do that.
No doubt. Do you think
we just need to all hang in there? You know, like Bubba said, it's not easy being a Pirate fan. You just got to keep grinding.
Can we have like a basketball summit where we can all get together, the people that love basketball, and so that way we can say, this is what we need to do here to be successful? Because, you know, they did that. I tell you where I'm stealing the idea from. Back in 2006, Bubba knows this story. The Duke football program, Duke was very worried. You're talking about Duke. They were very worried they were going to get kicked out of the ACC because their basketball, of course, is king. But the football, they were so bad. They had another four straight. I mean, they went 0-12 like four straight years in a row. So they got a whole bunch of football players together. They had a football summit to improve their football program. I'm wondering if we could do the same thing for our basketball program to get people that really – care about our basketball program to tell the administration, everybody, hey, we've got to do something to improve the basketball program at East Carolina.
You know, it's not a bad idea at all. I think that I think that the things that we talked about, I'm not sure it wouldn't save us money, security and all those things. I mean, I think that because the one thing that everybody hates to hear is like, well, that's not the way we do it. Well, whatever way we've done it, basketball at East Carolina, whatever way we've done it, we need to change. I mean, that can't be an argument. Well, we've always done it that way. Well, guess what?
Can we have like a beer garden or a bar or something in there?
Anything. Because what we've done for the last 30 years has not worked. And it didn't work for the years before that. So let's say the last 40 years, it hasn't worked. So
we'll keep
put the summit together and put it somewhere like in Florida or something. You know, come up with that.
Hey, Bubba, can you help me with that?
Yeah.
We'll have a retreat.
Well, going back to what you mentioned earlier, Dave, as far as the tip-off dinner,
I want to do something
much like the first pitch dinner with baseball that generate $95,000 this year.
Yeah,
per Cliff, and then I think last year it was like 120 or something. But I've talked to so many former players; they were excited about the alumni weekend, but unfortunately, you know, it was put together 4 weeks in advance as opposed to October or November. And I'm not trying to slam anyone here, but I just don't understand why something like that is not put together and announced much further in advance. As far as the tip-off dinner specifically, I know good and well, you know, a bunch of these alums I've reached out to and other people in the community that we could get that $600 to $700 there for a basketball tip-off dinner because, you attended the one that Kim McNeil and the women's staff had, and you said they had, 250 or 300 people there?
Yeah, I was totally shocked. I love Coach a lot. I think it was $30 I paid for the ticket, and I said, I pray to God, you know, they can have a good turnout. And they had the Harvey Hall. I mean, it was between the parents and those of us that are, you know, love basketball, this particular case, women's basketball, the first one they ever had, and they did well. And I was thinking, you know, no offense to Coach McNeil, but I said, Coach Dooley, if we had something like this for men's basketball, I would think we could at least get, wouldn't you think 500 or 600? I mean, maybe more than that. I don't know, but I was very, very happy for her, but also I was thinking my idea started thinking about men's basketball that we could do something there with that. What do you think, Coach? I mean, you can.
I think it's a great idea, but again, you know, it's got to be. There's got to be a marketing team. There's got to be somebody or a couple people that go, what do we need to do to make this successful? We haven't done this before. Let's do it. And let's do it full bore. And if it, in a perfect world, I would hire these marketing people and put them on minimum salary, but huge bonuses if they reach, okay, like this dinner. If you get 700 people there, you're going to get $10,000. I guarantee you, you'll find people that will go door to door to sell tickets at 30 or 40 or whatever to get 700 people. That I just think that it just appears like everything stays the same on that side, whether you win or lose. It just kind of just flows. And it's been that way as long as I can remember.
You can get a whole bunch of tables on the floor. Guys, you can get a whole bunch of tables on the floor at Williams Arena. I mean, it's the basketball, you know. You put the have a candlelit kind of thing, and you have all those seats. You could probably charge, I don't know, $5 or $10 a piece if you could do that. You could get a whole bunch of people paying. If you market it right, like you said, if you have the right when it comes to students, when it comes to the community, there's a whole bunch of people that would come if they have the price rate and market rate.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the things, like they need to come up with 25 things we're going to do different. I mean, just like we're going to start over. Like this is the first time we've ever had a Division I basketball game, basketball team. What do we need to do? Because the adage is, well, if we win, people will, well, you know what? That's not, we haven't been able to do that. So let's forget that. Let's assume we're not going to win. And how are we going to get 5,000 people there? Let's work off. Okay. We're going to win 10 games this year, but you're going to get $100,000 bonus if you get 5,000 people in there a game. Let's work off that strategy and see what we can come up with.
There's people out there that can definitely make that happen. I mean, without question, you know, there are people out there that are very good with sales. And I mean, my God, Coach, we have marketing students. I mean, that they would, you know, they'd be chomping out of the bill. Speaking of NIL, I mean, they'd be chomping in the bill to make some cash.
Hey, yeah. Something else in baseball, you have Cliff's cap. You know, maybe you could do, you know, Coach Dooley has to be himself, but I mean, you know, something like that. You know, I know they did some things this year, Eric Ward, you know, some hotshot basketball and things on campus involving players and so forth. But, you know, something a similar concept, the Cliff's Cab with Coach Dooley.
No, and if you list 25 things and if half of them work, then we're making big progress. Big progress.
Anything is better than what we're doing.
Let's give out. Let's, you know what? Like we had all those kids come for the Memphis game and we gave out t-shirts. Well, let's give out t-shirts to every game and get somebody to sponsor to, you know, each game sponsor, but like it's t-shirts. It's not $100 gift certificates. It's a friggin' t-shirt.
And like you're saying, Coach, how many Pirates do we have that are in that line of business, you know, that would sponsor? For instance, my dad's in the promotional items business. I mean,
yeah. But in my opinion, it takes the idea that, like, let's start over. Let's not – from whatever we've done, let's start over. And then we'll decide what we want to keep the next year, you know, from the very beginning. And because this hasn't worked, it has not worked. The atmosphere.
One of the big things, you know, back, it was really, you know, during the 80s and 90s at football games, both at East Carolina and just around the country in general, you've probably seen the Catholics versus convicts, 30 for 30. Remember those T-shirts that were being I remember T-shirts like that being sold, you know, in the parking lots outside of what was then Ficklin Stadium. But, you know, have a different T-shirt. It doesn't have to be the entire lower bowl, but, you know, 500, 1,000, make it a sharp-looking T-shirt, you know, something like what you mentioned, those posters of Blue Edwards, but make it tied into the history and also tied into the current roster, and, you know, involve the ECU School of Art, and, you know, have a design where you have a lot of people involved and people with a vested interest, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Make really cool, sharp-looking T-shirts where, hey, you got to get there for the first 500 or 1,000 or you don't get one.
No, I agree. I agree. Let's put Brian Bailey up next to the cannon and let the cannon go off.
Yeah. I remember Coach Dooley when he came back. This is a Brian Bailey story because I love Double B. He's the best. But Brian Bailey asked the very first press conference Joe did when he came back. He said, "Coach, how many games do you expect to win?" And Coach looked at him and said, "All of them."
So, yeah. You know, Brian Bailey, he came here the same time I did, and they had not had a coach's show. And so, and they said, the marketing people said, "We can't do it, da da da." And I told Dave Hart, I said, "Well, let Brian and I go out." Well, in two days, we had enough people to sponsor that it was going to work. And the one they wouldn't let us use was the Budweiser Brewery because it was alcohol. But again, our number one sponsor was Miller Lite. So, but we did it. And Brian Bailey, when we would do the coaches show, which was probably takes 15 minutes because you got all the video stuff, sometimes it would take us 2 hours because one of us or both of us would start, we'd get the giggles. And we had a blooper film that I think we have burnt somewhere, but we laughed. And then when Jeff Charles came, Jeff Charles could do 15 minutes in 16 minutes. It was incredible. He'd make a mistake and never even stop, just go right through. Where Bailey and I would just laugh. I mean, BB was great. And we were learning at the same time. We had Kaufman's as one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And I gave Brian Bailey like one of the like $500 gift certificate to go to Kaufman's. He thought he was going to buy the whole store. I mean, it didn't work that way for BB. God bless him. No, well, Coach, he's great.
Coach, we've kept you so long. Thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully you won't be a stranger. And I hope that in a couple, and here in a month or so, we'll be talking about Joe's back. I'm really hoping, I say this on purpose, the administration folks in the ward building, they listen to us. So I'm hoping that they will keep Joe, save Joe, and let's bring him back for a handful of years. I think that, like you said, if you have Purdue, even though we don't have the history like your alma mater, but we need to keep Joe around for a long time because the continuity is what we are missing. And we need to have that for him for another 4 or 5 years at least.
No, I hope so. I mean, again, that's, you know, like I said, I've hoped we kept everyone we've had, and the changes have not worked. So we'll see. And Bubba, I wish you'd have been here to help me with Dave with his 8-year-old, because that was a traumatic, that was a tough loss for him to take there. Yeah. Yeah. That kid will be in therapy till he's about 30.
I hope not. I hope not.
All right, guys.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks for everything. We'll see you.
I right, appreciate you. All right. Bye-bye. I love it. I love it. I love Coach Steele. He's the best. He's the best. No doubt about it. And you heard that first, Bubba, you know, with the folks. I know we were going to wrap this up, but hopefully the administration will listen. And Coach is the best. I mean, he's candid. We didn't pay him to say anything our way. He wants to keep Joe. And if anybody knows basketball, it's Coach Steele. So let's keep Dooley and let's keep it him for a few more years. And let's watch the program really grow, right?
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, I slipped Coach Steele at Benjamin. But no. But yeah, I just, unless the wheels totally fall off down the stretch here, yeah. I think it's a huge mistake if Coach Dooley's not back moving forward. You know, unless of course it's his decision to move on because he's choosing to pursue something else. Because I think number one, I think he can get the job done, and two, you know, you have. I really think that you would have a blank canvas, so to speak, for the new coach, because like Coach Steele mentioned, Tristan Newton is likely gone. And who knows, maybe he wouldn't be, but I'm just him, Brandon Suggs. A guy like Winston Tabbs coming back from the knee injury. Fingers crossed that he'll be the player that he was before the knee injury. Because Coach Dooley was saying he was the best player on this team, even better than Vance Jackson and Tristan Newton.
Yeah, and when you look at the way the things are now, it's not to take the easy way out and the easy fix to fire the coach every 4 years. So not to be repetitive or obviously rambling on, but we feel strongly how much we think of not only Dooley. We love Coach Godwin. You know, all the coaches at East Carolina are great. And so I'm not just saying that because it sounds like I'm Homer. I'm really serious. So we need to focus now that we've got our coaches in place. Let's support the programs and let's support our – hey, it doesn't matter if it's Tiddlywinks. I'm going to be supporting the Pirates. Right, Bubba?
Yeah. And Tony Parham brings up, he says – I don't think we've had a coach here for at least 7 years. Am I correct with this? Obviously.
I think you're right, Tony.
And he's talking about consecutively because obviously Tony played for Coach Dooley. Right. And this is Coach Dooley's eighth year overall. Jeff Lebo was around for that long. Coach Lebo, yep. Let's see.
I think it was
8 years.
Okay.
At least 8, maybe 9 years for Coach Lebo. Matt McCarthy was 3 years. Ricky Stokes, 2 years. Coach Herring was 6 years. Prior to Coach Dooley's first stint, Eddie Payne, 4 years. Mike Steele, 4 years. Charlie Harrison, 5 years. Dave Odom, 3 years. Larry Gilman, 2 years. Dave Patton, 3 years. Tom Quinn, going way back to the mid-70s. And then I think maybe even the late 60s, but I think he was here at least probably 8 or 9 years, if not more. So, yes, your point is well taken, Tony. You know, only Jeff Lebo and going way back to the mid-70s, Tom Quinn have been here more than 6 years consecutively.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher. We need to keep them there more than, you know, 4 years or 6 years. We got to keep them there for a long, long time. And thank you, Mark, very much. Appreciate you. Thank you, Tony. You're one of the best, my friend. We appreciate you and a lot of great Pirates that played. Gabe, I mean, there's so many great Pirates that watch and listen, not only if it's football, basketball, baseball. We got track. I mean, a whole bunch of swimming. There's a whole bunch of former Pirates that put on that jersey. So we appreciate you guys very, very much, all the men and women that have done that over the many years of Pirate Athletics, for sure. Bubba, do you have anything before we go?
Yeah, just promote our upcoming content. Of course, over the last, I guess, 3 to 4 weeks now, we've been putting out our NCD1 baseball preview, completed that today. So you have 17 conversations, 15 of those being with head coaches from around the state. Then you also had ACC Network Plus color analyst Larry Sorensen of Wake Forest. And also, you know, Corey Smith of Pack Pride, NC State's 24/7 site, to take a look at the Wolfpack. Really tried to get Coach Avent on. He was complimentary of the job we did a couple seasons ago. Last year, his father had unfortunately passed. The NC State Media Relations Department, they were not granting requests to non-NC State media outlets. So Unfortunately, could not have Coach Avent, but we really appreciated Corey coming on and giving us an excellent look at the Wolfpack. Wolfpack back on the schedule this year for the Pirates. You also, tomorrow I'll be catching up with Dortea Forbrig, and she is the women's golfer, excellent career, I think lowest career stroke average, about a little over 73. So tremendous golfer, pursuing a professional career now, so we'll catch up with her. Just completed her career a season ago. On Thursday night, we'll have Coach O, on opening day eve, if you will, before the opening day on Friday, we hope, weather permitting, against the Bryant Bulldogs. Speaking of the Bryant Bulldogs, caught up with their head coach, Coach Klosterman, and so that's on our YouTube channel. Go check that interview out. It's just shy of 20 minutes. An excellent look at this week's opponent. And then we'll have a Pirate basketball overtime for you, hopefully talking about the Pirates getting a 13-12 with a road win, a consecutive road win at USF after winning the last time on the road against Tulsa, where Vance Jackson knocked down that three-pointer with only seconds remaining. And we'll also have 23 Jungle Tales headed your way as we'll talk to Jonathan Jenkins, better known as JJ, who pitched for Coach O on those teams in the late 80s and early 90s, and had an excellent conversation with him tonight on the phone, just setting up the interview. So that will be one of our upcoming Jungle Tales.
And Bubba, as always, thank you for that preview for NC North Carolina preview for the collegiate baseball, because it's always great. One of our favorite things we do every year, 23 Jungle Tales, that was your idea. I think our third season now of that. Can't wait for extra innings. Appreciate our good friends, Trent and Gaynell. Brett, appreciate them so much for them stepping up for the second year in a row. They're the title sponsor again, Next Level Training Center. My kids both go there. I know, Bubba, if you were lived anywhere close to Next Level, your kids would be there. But it's a great – they've treated my kids like $1 million. Not, and the people there didn't know who my kids, who I am, and they don't know about, Next Level sponsoring our show. The coaches there are fantastic. The facility is second to none. I enjoy it every time we go there. So I want to remind fans listening, if you have a son or daughter, they play baseball or softball, there's a reason why it's called Next Level, because my children are doing better because they went there, and I appreciate the sponsorship. I appreciate the friendship that Trent Gaynell, they've been very good to us. So thank you guys for stepping up yet again. Another great year, and we're looking forward to another great baseball season, Bubba, no doubt about it.
Yeah, on Sunday night, as you see there on the screen, we'll have extra innings. As Dave mentioned, we'll catch up with Scooter Rogers, the new play-by-play voice. Look forward to having Scooter or Coach O and probably some former players as well throughout the season as we break down what has transpired during that week. But look forward to catching up with Scooter. That will be sometime Sunday evening at a to-be-determined time, probably sometime in the 7 or 8 o'clock hour. And then, as you mentioned, Next Level Training Center, go to nextleveltc.com, or if you have questions, call 252-756-NEXT.
And tell them Bubba sent you. Oh man, I love it. Well, thanks to
tell them Dave sent you, they'll kick you out.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mention my name. I don't want any trouble for our great folks listening. Hey, thank you so much to Coach Steele. He's the best. Appreciate him. Simply the best, like Tina Turner would say. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for everybody listening and watching. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.